what's going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, with a little something different. It's a loaded weekend for me this weekend. I've obviously got NXT Deadline to look forward to, the Iron Survivor. But I'm going to have to hold off on that, because I'm also going to a show. Now, I don't really talk a lot about Impact on here, because I don't keep up with it regularly, and I can't speak to it very intelligently, but I have to do this because a little while ago, at the end of the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, they ran that vignette that everybody's seen, even if you don't watch Impact anymore, where it's all the old TNA originals getting around the swamp and picking up the treasure chest, and TNA is back. They're bringing back the TNA branding. Scott D'Amore's got all kinds of different ideas. Impact is going to be TNA again, and the Impact Weekly Show is going to be TNA Impact, and Hard to Kill in January is going to be the first TNA pay-per-view in God knows how long. But before we get to the first TNA pay-per-view, we have to talk about the last Impact pay-per-view. Now, that's kind of historic in a sense, depending on how much you care. If you don't care about Impact and you don't care about TNA, then it's not going to be historic, but it's kind of a closing chapter kind of thing. And even still, I probably wouldn't come up here to talk about it if I wasn't going to the fucking show. Now, Impact, I was about to say TNA there, are running their show. It says Toronto on all the advertising, which is hysterical, because it's actually happening in Mississauga, which is just outside Toronto, and it's at the Don Koloff Arena. Now, if you've been listening to me for a long time and that sounds familiar, the Don Koloff Arena is the sort of home base of my local Destiny Wrestling. Check it out for Spaz Phoenix Bucket List. It's fine. It's the Don Koloff Academy is basically... Or, sorry, the Don Koloff Arena is basically Battle Arts Academy. At one point, I think, was owned by Santino Marella. I don't know what the situation is with that. Hysterical, because just this past weekend, I was there for Destiny Wrestling versus OVW, which was a heck of a show. Oh, yes. Our current champion, Trent Seven, got saved in the middle of a hardcore match by Al Snow. It was fun. Now, Impact is coming over to be in the Don Koloff for the last Impact show before they go back to being TNA. That's pretty cool. It's local to me, which is fine. Literally, it's a 5-minute cab ride away, which is fantastic. But it's also a cool thing for me because, as some of you may know, going to the Destiny shows here in Mississauga got me back into Impact, kind of. Now, when I start talking about the show, you're going to know that I haven't been keeping up week to week, obviously. But I, as you will know if anybody ever asks me what I think about AEW, I am a fed head, as they say. I grew up on WWE, and I didn't really do much else until a couple years ago when I came out of a WWE house show and people were handing out these flyers for this company, Destiny Wrestling. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is this type thing, with my arrogant head on at the time. But the main event, the title match of that show was their current champion, Pete Dunne versus, I don't know what he was going by at the time, but it was John Morrison. It was Pete Dunne versus John Morrison, and I went, and my sister-in-law came with me. It was a lot of fun, and I went back, and I kept on going back, and I kept on going back, and I started getting to know people at the Destiny show. You guys have heard me talk about Aiden Prince. You guys have heard me talk about Channing Decker. You guys have heard me talk about Josh Alexander. You guys have heard me talk about Shotzi before she went to NXT. You guys have heard me talk about Jody Threat before you saw her in AEW, and I think she's now in Impact as well. People like Killer Kelly came in. At the time, you got a lot of WWE people in there too, because all the guys from NXT UK were able to come over. I met Billy Gunn, Austin Aries was there, James Ellsworth was there for a show. But as I'm watching, and as the title went from Pete Dunne to Josh Alexander, what I started to realize, and what everybody else in the building already knew, was Josh Alexander was kind of their AJ Styles. You know how at TNA, at its one of its certain high points, AJ Styles was the guy. He was the John Cena. So when I was there to see Josh Alexander become the Destiny World Champion, it was electric. And I don't say those words lightly, but watching all these guys, I was introduced to, like I say, Josh Alexander, Ethan Page, Trey Miguel, Aiden Prince, all these guys, and it's like, oh, there are a lot of these guys are over at Impact. I should probably check out Impact. And I started watching Impact, and that sort of, it didn't get me fully back on board, because where I am, unless you want to get like YouTube Plus or whatever the hell it is, it's not like anything else. It's not like me tuning in to Sportsnet 360 to watch WWE stuff. It's not like me tuning into TSN to watch AEW stuff. And why the hell would I watch AEW stuff? Another story for another day. So I do lose track of it and pick it up in certain points. Like, obviously, I tuned in for Bound for Glory because it's their WrestleMania, the same way casual WWE fans will tune in for WrestleMania, or they'll tune in for the Rumble. I basically did the same thing. And then I saw this trailer that they threw on the end there. It's gonna go back to TNA. Because the first time I started watching TNA, no word of a lie, it was because somebody told me that Jeff Jarrett and Jeff Hardy were having a ladder match in a six-sided ring. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is that? So, I thought, at the time, okay, if they're switching back to TNA, that's going to mean something. It's not going to change the talent. They already have an immense amount of talent, don't get me wrong. But the presentation might be different. The crowds might be different. The venues might be different. Maybe it'll get on TV, who knows. Remember when it was on Spike TV back in the day? That was nice and easy to digest. And then they tried to go on Monday nights, and that was awesome. Remember the Steel Asylum? That was a thing, wasn't it? But I thought maybe next year, because I'm not covering AEW anymore, I could do WWE NXT / TNA. And I said, okay, brand new year, brand new me, brand new channel. You guys know I change things up on this channel all the time. I'll start covering TNA next year, or at least doing some previews for some shows or whatever. And then they said, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to do the last Impact show in your backyard, in your literal home building of your home company that got you back into Impact in the first place. So yeah, it's all come full circles and roundabouts. WWE got me to watch Destiny. Destiny Stars got me to watch Impact. I'm now watching Impact that's about to become TNA again. So here I am previewing the last Impact show. Why is that beeping? Why is that a thing? Here I am previewing the last ever Impact show, or pay-per-view, I should say, in the home of Destiny Wrestling, in my backyard, and because I'm going. So there we go. So it all, like I say, it all swings and roundabouts. But I haven't watched in the past couple of weeks. I do not know how any of these matches came about, so I'm just going to tell you who I like. It's going to be as simple as, for example, on the pre-show, we've got Sheldon Dean versus Frankie Kazarian. I don't know who Sheldon Dean is, perfectly honest with you. Please throw it down. This is one of those things where I say it unironically. Please throw it down in the box below and let me know what I'm missing. Don't know who Sheldon Dean is, but he's taking on Frankie Kazarian, and I will take any opportunity to see Frankie Kazarian live, because Frankie Kazarian's awesome. And not to make this a tribal thing, how did AEW have Frankie Kazarian on their roster and, like, he disappeared? He was going to be the Elite Hunter, and then he just disappeared. I don't get it. It was really cool. I don't remember what show it was, but the show where he actually came back and announced that he was back in Impact, soon to be TNA, was a really cool thing. Because, like I say, the heyday of the X Division, you go way, way, way back. Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, and all those. Frankie Kazarian was right up in there with his Metallica related graphics and all that. I remember at the time thinking that he was TNA's equivalent of John Morrison, and I don't know how fairly that comparison has held up over the years. But I mean, Frankie Kazarian versus John Morrison would be a hell of a match, would it not? I'm gonna go with Frankie Kazarian because I don't know the other guy. Simple as. ABC taking on Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers for the Impact Tag Team Championship. Now, Eddie Edwards used to be in the Wolves with the other fellow whose name I can't remember, because this is a very uneducated preview, as you can probably guess. He was part of another tag team. Brian Myers, I still associate with Matt Cardona. Now, if you are in the area and you want to go to Destiny's January show, Matt Cardona and Steph DeLander are both going to be on that show. Being in Oshawa, I don't know whether I'm going to be there or not, but it already sounds like it's going to be good, because Trent Seven ended the show this past weekend saying he wanted a bit of Matt Cardona. So I'm going to go out on a limb that's not really a limb, it's a whole fucking tree, and say we're probably getting Trent Seven versus Matt Cardona for the Destiny Championship, which doesn't hurt my feelings whatsoever. So seeing Brian Myers tagging with other people, I know Brian Myers has tag teamed up with Moose in the past little while. Brian Myers it's him and Cardona. They're the major brothers. So you've taken a team that I know and a team that existed back in the day, and you've sort of smushed them together. It'd be like making a team of Matt Hardy and Christian. I think they actually did that back in WWE, and it wasn't that great. Now, ABC, or Chris Bay and Ace Austin, are awesome. Now, you guys got to remember as well, my introduction to the Bullet Club, as it exists currently, was through watching Impact. It was through watching Jay White, who I was introduced to on Impact, not on AEW. I wish WWE had won that bidding war, but it is what it is. I like Chris Bay and Ace Austin. Them, I don't know. I'm sure that the AACB is how you get the ABC, but I really don't get that. I know they still come out to the Bullet Club music, so close enough. I don't know how Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers are as a team. On the surface level, they seem like a thrown-together team, so it seems like a showcase for Chris Bay and Ace Austin, and I'm all for that. I'm going to guess that they retain. In another tag team match, oh my goodness, you got Trinity, who I think is their champion right now. Yay. And Jordynne Grace teaming up with Deonna Purrazzo and Giselle Shaw. Jordynne Grace I liked for a while. And she's still, like, physically impressive as hell. Don't get me wrong. I don't know what her character is right now. I could do without Trinity, Naomi, I'm not going to lie. Giselle Shaw is all right. And Deonna Purrazzo's fucking awesome. Any company that Deonna Purrazzo walks into that doesn't immediately have a belt around her waist is misusing her. And I will say that. She carries herself. I don't know whether I want to make this comparison because a lot of people don't like Charlotte Flair. The way Deonna Purrazzo carries herself, she carries herself with the same bearing as somebody like a Charlotte Flair does. And you could put her in there with the most day one jobber, and the match itself would still carry some bearing because she has that kind of presence. Her and Giselle Shaw, I'm sure, will be a fine enough team. Trinity and Jordynne Grace, I mean, Jordynne Grace is one of the biggest names they have on that roster. A lot of people love her. And if you do, like I say, like I fell off of her from an interest point of view. But if you're into her, like, she's impressive as hell. Like, nobody can deny that. And she's teaming up with the champion. So, much as I like Deonna Purrazzo, I think Trinity and Jordynne Grace are going to take this one. I don't know. I don't know what the point is of having a major pay-per-view with your singles champion in a tag match. Are these, like, are Jordynne Grace, Deonna Purrazzo, and Giselle Shaw her, like, immediate number one contenders, and they're just trying to have a bit of build towards the show? I know Jordynne Grace is getting a title shot in January. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. At the Hard to Kill show, at the TNA debut show. So maybe this is just to build to that. You know, they had to be friends before they could be enemies. I really don't know, and I won't pretend that I know. I won't pretend that I've been watching every week. I do think it'll be a great match. I think, their partners aside, I think when Jordynne Grace and Deonna Purrazzo are in the ring together, it's magic. Deonna Purrazzo gets to play sort of an underdog just because, fucking look at Jordynne Grace. I figured somebody else in here gets the win. Probably Trinity gets the pin because she's the champion. She wants to look good going into the next pay-per-view. Don't know. Something to look forward to, and I'm kind of bummed that it's not a hardcore match. Rhino versus Moose. Rhino's Rhino. You can't really say anything else about that. The guy is intensity personified. And Moose is another one that I saw at Destiny before I saw him anywhere else. And the last time I saw Moose at a Destiny show, I mean, it was to build towards an Impact show, but Moose came in and speared Josh Alexander's wife. So, but the first time I saw Moose was in a hardcore match at Destiny against the White Bronco, Channing Decker, and he put him through a door, and that's when I realized the cool thing about Destiny is they don't use tables, they use doors, and the doors, because they're those weird, like, house doors that are kind of hollow, they make a really weird cracking sound when you go through them. Trent Seven went through one in that hardcore match before Al Snow came out for the save with Head. It was a lot of fun. Big guys hitting each other. I really like Moose. I hope he wins. Singles match, Mike Bailey versus Trey Miguel. First of all, two more guys that were introduced to me by Destiny. Mike Bailey is fucking insane. If you haven't seen anything from Mike Bailey, go check it out. And Trey Miguel is, like, I wish when WWE signed MSK before they fucked over one of them, I was really hoping that Trey Miguel was eventually going to come and join Nash Carter and Wesley, and they were going to be a trio in NXT. That's how highly I think of Trey Miguel. Mike Bailey, he's just going to kick your chest in, and it's awesome, and he's like a barefoot wrestler. And I saw him, I won't say when, because, you know, don't want to get anybody in trouble. I saw, I wish I saw Wesley versus Josh Alexander, that'd be awesome. I saw Mike Bailey versus Josh Alexander in a parking lot. And it was awesome. It was like, come, chill, have a barbecue. Oh, by the way, there's a ring here, why don't we do some wrestling? It was fucking great. I think, much like Josh Alexander, I think I also saw Mike Bailey sign his Impact contract in a Destiny Wrestling ring. This is going to be great. This is going to be hard-hitting versus high-flying. I almost said that this was for the X Division Championship, but neither one of them has the X Division Championship at the moment. Speaking of big guys, let's talk about Jake Something. Jake Something looks like a mobile fridge and wrestles like a mobile fridge. Another guy that I saw at Destiny before I ever saw him on TV. You know, all the cliches that commentators can pull out of there. Oh my God, this guy walks by and he blocks out the sun. Well, Jake Something is like wrestling a fridge. He's taking on Jason Hotch. I don't know who that is. Sorry. And I don't mean to be dismissive. I say this with Jason Hodge. I say this with Sheldon Jean as well. I think I mispronounced that before. Just because I don't know who you are doesn't mean anything. It just means I don't have much conversation to add on your behalf in this particular pod. Jake Something is like watching somebody get hit by a truck in slow motion. Kind of awesome. Gonna go with Jake Something because he's the guy I know. Tommy Dreamer apparently has the Impact Wrestling Digital Media Championship, which is really funny. I don't know why that's so funny, but it is. Because everything I've seen Tommy Dreamer in recently has sort of involved Bully Ray, I figure Bully Ray is going to get involved in this at some point. But he's taking on Cody Deaner from, used to be from Violent by Design, and now it's just The Design. Are they even still a group? He's a good enough crazy guy, but it's Tommy Dreamer, and he's going to kill somebody, and that's awesome. I don't think, I could be wrong, I'd have to go back through the Rolodex in my brain. I don't think I've ever had the chance to see Tommy Dreamer live, so that'll be cool. I know that doesn't sound like very much, but I'm just sort of doing tick boxes between people that I've seen live, people that I've literally seen live in this building because it's the Destiny building, and the fact that I haven't been to that many Impact shows. I hope when they come back, when they turn back over to TNA, I hope they come back with the first TNA show in Canada in forever long. And with no disrespect to the Don Koloff Arena, I spend enough time there, I'd love to see them in a building like the Coca-Cola Coliseum, used to be the Rico. I want that for them, not because, again, I'll say it 100 times, no slight on the Don Koloff Arena. It's a really cool place to see a show. I really do think there are a large portion of the Impact stars, some of them that I've seen in Destiny, that deserve a bigger audience. Would I love to see them in the Scotiabank Arena? Would I love to see them in the Dome? Obviously. Let's get them to the Coca-Cola Coliseum, and we will go from there. Even if I don't end up watching it, big hopes, strong positive thoughts for this new transformed TNA of 2024. And the main event is just awesome. You go back to the, like I say, sort of that golden age of TNA, mostly in the X Division, but the Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, are two of the names you're going to think of. You're going to think of the main three. You're going to think of Styles, Danielson, and Joe, because not only did they have that one famous triple threat match that everybody still talks about, but they also were sort of the names at the time. But just under them, you had Sabin, you had Shelley, you had Kazarian, you had Aries, you had, I'm forgetting a lot of people. Amazing Red, Eric Young, all those people. So Motor City Machine Guns now walking into this show as a team, both with individual titles, kind of doing that, like, I guess you could say TNA's version of the two-man power trip, with Alex Shelley as the world champion and Chris Sabin as the X Division champion, I think for the 9th time or something ridiculous like that. They're a hell of a force. But they're a hell of a force taking on Josh Alexander, who's fucking awesome. Like I say, seeing him in Destiny, along with, like I say, the guys like Aiden Prince, Ethan Page, etc., etc., etc. One of the main things that got me to sort of take a look at Impact again. So, you team him up with somebody that I've seen even on TV only once or twice, and I think he was at Forbidden Door, and that's Zack Sabre Jr. Now, the last person that I went to see live, that I had only seen a couple times on TV, and went, oh, that guy does some cool stuff, was Will Ospreay, when I went to see Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega during Forbidden Door 2 in Toronto at the Scotiabank Arena. And walked out thinking, even though his opponent was Kenny Omega, walked out thinking that was one of my matches of the year. So maybe this does the same thing. I've heard a lot of good things about Zack Sabre Jr. I've heard a lot of other people telling me histories about Zack Sabre Jr. I haven't heard anything bad. I've seen a little bit. Show me more. But I think the dichotomy of Josh Alexander, who I have sat in that very arena and watched wrestle so many times, teaming up with somebody that I've seen so little of, against a team that is so entrenched in the old TNA lore, is a fantastic main event. Now, it does suffer from the same thing as the ladies' tag match. There is a part of me that says, you know, Alex Shelley could have a world title match on this card. There is a part of me that says Chris Sabin could have an X Division title match on this card. You could have had Mike Bailey and Trey Miguel and Sabin in a wicked triple threat. There's not a lot of title matches. There is the Impact Digital Media Championship, the Tag Championships, and that's it. But, as I say, just for me, for the people that I like, I get to see Impact's portion of the Bullet Club, I get to see Frankie Kazarian, I get to see Deonna Purrazzo, which is awesome, I get to see Moose probably kill somebody, I get to see Mike Bailey and Trey Miguel try to make their case for Match of the Night, and they probably will up till the main event. Jake Something is going to squash people, Tommy Dreamer is going to do Tommy Dreamer things, and even though I'm not that familiar with Zack Sabre Jr., I'm really, really looking forward to that main event. So, somebody that actually watches Impact religiously on a weekly basis is going to hate the preview that I've just given here, because it's super uninformed. Please get down in that box below if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble. If you're listening on an audio platform, please hit me up on X at Spaz Phoenix. But yeah, it's the last pay-per-view of the Impact era, if I want to be corny about it. And I'm going, so I'm talking about it. That's it. That's all I got. I got nothing for you. So you guys are getting this on Friday. Sometime later today, you'll also be getting a preview for NXT Deadline, talking about that title match with Dragunov and Corbin, talking about the Iron Survivor matches and all that kind of thing. So you're getting two pods from me. So if you're getting this one first, check back and get the other one. I don't know what order they're going to come out in. I've rambled for quite long enough. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am tagging out. Bye, guys.